Hi, and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Hicks, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more. So buckle up, buttercups, and here we go. So today we're going to talk about that first 12 months in small business. Whew. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it's an exciting thing to be in small business. When I first started my small business, I was 18 and I thought I knew everything. First 12 months of running my business, I was in my garage and relied heavily on my parents-in-law and my dad for business advice, plus my partner at the time. We all chipped in. Everybody was following along to realise my dream. So thinking back, that first 12 months, your cash flow is so low and there are so many things you want and need to buy. It's about being resourceful and recycling or using items that have little or no cost in that setup phase. My stepmom always was saying to me, "Do you want it or do you need it? There is a difference." For me back then, it was a retail setting. So, you know, it was all about shelving and stock and signage, etc. Fast forward many years and working with businesses all over Victoria as a small business advisor, often in the first 12 to 24 months of business, there are several questions you need to ask yourself. Number one, you need to be able to define your business offering. What are you selling or providing? You need to ensure that you have a great understanding of your target customer. Who are you serving? What are their pain points? And how can you monetize this to help them solve their problem? Ensure you start small is my second point, and that is then learning how to scale, which will be based on your return on your investment. So, for example, if your business was like mine all those years ago, my income would have been derived from selling classes. So, term by term, getting payment up front to secure their spot over that several weeks, and then having items for them each week to keep students enthused in purchasing, so additional income and cash flow was happening. So I think we're all in agreement that those first 12 months are likely to be a challenge. And if you speak to small business owners, they say the first 12 months is pretty full on. Now, according to business.gov.au, there are 5 key challenges. In my experience, however, there are also additional challenges of compliance, legalities, and ongoing customer learning. And you know me, I'll add a few others, so we're well and truly identifying them all. I think there are 8 in total. So buckle up over this episode and the next episode, and we'll cut through those and identify and talk about them. So let's start about those first 5 that BGA have identified. Well, in this episode, it'll be the first 3. So challenge 1 is mastering the money maze, that good old cash flow management. Now, cash flow is crucial for any small business as it represents that lifeblood of your operations. And here's why it's so important. Solvency. Cash flow ensures that a business can meet its short-term financial obligations, such as paying employees, suppliers, and utility bills. Without a positive cash flow, even a profitable business can face insolvency. Now, most businesses in the first 12 months don't pay the owner. I don't think I was paid for the first 2 or 3 years, but all my bills were paid and that's all that mattered. So, the businesses that do actually have a wage allocated to the owner means that they've actually cracked the correct business modeling just right. And there are some businesses that do that. They might duplicate another business model that they know is successful. But usually that first 12 months is quite challenging. Flexibility. Healthy cash flow provides flexibility for a small business owner to invest in growth opportunities, whether it's expanding operations, hiring new staff, or investing in marketing initiatives. It also allows a business to weather those unexpected expenses, industry or sector challenges, or downturns in revenue. And it happens. You just never see it coming. Well, sometimes you do. But in that first 12 months, you're new, you're green, and you're open to opportunities. Credibility. Consistent positive cash flow enhances a business's credibility and makes it more attractive to lenders and investors. It demonstrates the business ability to manage its finances effectively and repay debts on time. Now, don't get me wrong, it's hard for small businesses to secure funding these days. So it's important to have a plan for cash flow and a backup and a second backup. Now, let's chat about the differences between cash flow and profit. Cash flow refers to the movement of money in and out of a business over a specific period, typically monthly or annually. It includes cash receipts from sales, investments, and financing activities, as well as the cash flow payments for expenses, purchases, and debt servicing. Fancy headings, but it's all relevant. Cash flow can be categorized into operating, investing, and financial activities, providing insights into how cash is generated and used for what within the business. It also measures liquidity and the ability to cover short-term financial obligations. Now, profit, on the other hand, is the financial gain obtained when revenue exceeds expenses over a specific period. It is calculated by subtracting total expenses from total revenue and is typically reported on the income statement. Now, this can be generated, of course, because hopefully you've signed up to an accountancy package. And yes, I know they can be expensive, but most offer subscriptions per month or annually. And trust me, they are worth their weight in gold. So your accountancy package will be able to produce that sheet that I'm talking about, and I've just had an absolute brain fart. So it's actually going to report your income and your outgoing on a statement. So, you know, there is really good accountancy packages such as Xero, Myob, etc., like that. Now, going on from that, profit reflects the overall financial performance of a business but doesn't necessarily represent the availability of cash. A business can be profitable but still experience cash flow problems. For example, customers are slow to pay their invoices, there's delays in supply, you know, hikes in freight, you know, all the bad things that are going to happen in that first 12 months, or there are significant upfront expenses that you didn't account for. In essence, while profit is essential for the long-term sustainability of a business, cash flow is critical for its day-to-day operations and short-term survival. Now, challenge two, building your customer tribe, attractive and retaining customers. Now, without customers, you don't have a business, so it is very vital that you get this right. A strong customer base is the backbone of sustainable growth for any business, and this is why it's so crucial. Revenue stability. A loyal customer base provides a steady stream of revenue, reducing reliance on sporadic or one-time transactions. And that stability will allow businesses to better forecast and plan the future. Cost efficiency. Acquiring new customers is typically more expensive than retaining existing ones. And when you're a startup, unless you've got, I suppose, a couple of people that have said, oh, once you're open up, you know, I'll be popping in, you've got to work really hard for acquiring new customers, and it is going to be more expensive. A strong customer base, as you build over that 12 months, reduces customer acquisition costs, as satisfied customers are more likely to make repeat purchases and refer others to the business. And that's really gold, is when people refer you on. So brand advocacy. Happy customers can then become brand advocates, spreading positive word of mouth recommendations and enhancing the business's reputation. We all listen to somebody's positive experience about a business and think, well, you know what? They've had a happy experience. I want to go and have that too. So this organic promotion is invaluable for attracting new customers and building trust in the marketplace. Now, let's explore traditional digital marketing strategies. You knew I was going to put it in for attracting new customers with a focus on local. That's been, of course, we are in Victoria, Australia. And yes, I know we've covered this before in other episodes, but it doesn't hurt to revisit these strategies. Traditional marketing. So this is about local advertising, networking, and direct mail. Local advertising, as you know, is utilizing print media such as newspapers, magazines, and community newsletters to target specific geographic areas within your area. So, you know, think about your town and the next town across. So that's local advertising. Networking events. Jesus, do I bang on about this? You need to attend industry-specific networking events, trade shows, and conferences to showcase products or services and establish personal connections with potential customers. Now, I know that first 12 months, you are not going to have money for conferences and trade shows, the really expensive one. But there are other avenues. There are online ones. You might be able to secure a free ticket. You might be able to go with somebody else, or you might be able to, I don't know, enter a competition and win a spot. But those type of networking events are invaluable. Direct mail. So this is about sending targeted direct mail campaigns to households or businesses offering special promotions or discounts to incentivize purchases. So that would potentially be a postcard or a flyer. So that's traditional marketing. Social media marketing, of course, is in my favorite category, and that's digital marketing. So, of course, this is really going to be about social media, SEO and Google AdWords. So social media marketing is leveraging popular platforms like Facebook, Instagram, or where your clients are engaging with your region's audiences through targeted ads. So you need to find out, you know, are they a younger crew? Might it be more suitable on Instagram? Are they an older crew? Then it might be a mix of Instagram and Facebook, or primarily Facebook. So you have to think about where your customers or your potential customers are gaining, I suppose, their social media fix for the day, or where they're looking at their media. So search engine optimization is really, as you know, about optimizing web content and structure to improve visibility in search engine results for localized and or industry specific related keywords and phrases. Now, some of you won't have a website for that first 12 months, or some of you might think, well, you know, I want a website before I open. So entirely up to you. But if you do, then you've got to consider search engine optimization. Now, Google Ads. So if you wanted to work with Google, consider running pay-per-click advertising campaigns, and they would be targeting users in your region and statewide nationally. If you've got that type of market, or you've got that type of business that, you know, might have an online component, and it doesn't matter where you ship to if you've got, you know, physical items. Now, you need to understand where people will be searching for those products or services, just like your business offers. Now, this avenue may not be suitable until the latter end of your 12 months, unless you have a budget allocated or you've got some funding for this. And of course, your call to action will be social media or your website, you know, or picking up the phone, old-fashioned style. Regardless of the marketing channels used, don't forget exceptional customer service plays a pivot. Well, actually, a very massive, huge role in customer retention. And this is why it's important. Satisfied customers are likely to return. Okay, it doesn't get much bigger than that. So that's part of customer loyalty. So if you provide that exceptional service, it fosters that trust and loyalty amongst customers, encouraging them to continue doing business with the company. And you gain a positive reputation. And satisfied customers are more likely to leave those positive reviews and recommendations, enhancing the business's reputation and attracting new customers. Think of that third-party referral, people. It's all part of it. In doing that, it gives you a competitive advantage. And today, it is highly competitive to be in business. And outstanding customer service can differentiate a business from its competitors and can become a key differentiator in the eyes of consumers. Now, challenge three is navigating the regulatory maze, understanding business regulations. Holy crap, don't we have a lot of regulations and compliance that we've got to adhere to? It's the biggest, most single grievance I hear from small business owners all over Victoria is about the regulatory maze. So complying with Victorian business regulations and localised compliance is absolutely essential, and it is essential for several reasons. So, legal compliance. Adhering to regulations ensures that the business operates within the boundaries of the law, reducing the risk of fines, penalty, or legal action that could harm the business's reputation and financial stability. Consumer trust. Compliance demonstrates a commitment to ethical business practices and consumer protection, enhancing trust and credibility amongst customers and stakeholders. Risk management. Understanding and complying with regulations helps businesses identify and mitigate potential risks related to health and safety, environmental impact, taxation, and other areas. It also gives you an access to opportunities. Many government contracts and funding programs, such as grants and business incentives, require compliance with specific regulations. So by adhering to these requirements, businesses can access a broader range of opportunities for growth and development. Now, I know it's going to be different sector to sector, but it does open up the door. So let's explore the resources available to Victorian small businesses for navigating business regulations. Now, Business Victoria. Business Victoria is a government website that offers a wealth of information, tools and resources to help businesses understand and comply with regulations. It provides guidance on various aspects of starting, operating and growing a business in Victoria, including legal requirements, licensing, permits and industry-specific regulations. So that is your first stop. Have a snoop around on that website. You'll also find there's a lot of templates and a lot of referrals happening there as well. And I think they are offering all the time webinars and workshops that you can attend as well. And they also have the business bus that will circulate throughout the regions. Local council websites. Now, local government websites over the years have really evolved around supporting small business because they've worked out the percentage of small businesses that are running their LGA or their local government area. So that's usually a really good wealth of information. And a lot of them have dedicated sections on their websites providing information and support for local businesses. So this might include resources such as information on local regulations, zoning requirements, planning permits, and environmental regulations specific to the council's jurisdictions. Now, these resources serve as valuable guides for small businesses in Victoria and offer accessible information to support and navigate the regulatory landscape. So it's really vital. And I know it's a lot of reading and it's a lot to take in, but have a snoop around on their websites. Now, by leveraging those websites and those resources, and a lot of them are free, you don't have to pay, you can download and read later, you're staying informed about the regulatory updates and changes. Businesses can ensure compliance while focusing on their core operations and growth objectives. Now, the biggest bit of advice that I give small businesses in and around the Business Victoria website and their local council websites, if they have a sign-up option for a newsletter, sign up. It's free. They don't tend to spam your inbox every day. And they seem to gather up a whole wealth of information and put it into one website. And they have links and how-tos and all those type of things. So make sure you sign up and follow them on socials. That way you are really up to date with what's happening. Now, seeking professional advice for complex legal and compliance and even finance matters is crucial. So we can't know everything. And sometimes the best bit of advice I can give to small businesses, I think you need to seek professional help on that. Now, why? Why would I even suggest that? Well, there's several reasons. Expertise and experience, risk mitigation, comprehensive solutions, time and resource efficiency, and peace of mind. So the first one, of course, is expert and experience. So legal and compliance professionals have specialised knowledge and experience in navigating these complex regulatory frameworks. They can provide insights and guidance tailored to the specific needs and circumstances of the business or the business owner. And it really helps you as a business owner to ensure that you are accurately interpreting the application of relevant laws and regulations pertaining to your business. Risk mitigation. Professionals can identify potential legal and compliance risks that may not be apparent to you. By conducting thorough assessments and analysis, they can help businesses proactively address potential issues and mitigate risks before they escalate into costly legal disputes or regulatory violations. Comprehensive solutions, a fancy word, but it's really about drawing on those legal and compliance professionals that can offer those solutions that consider various legal, regulatory, and business factors. They can help you develop a strategy and implement practices that not only ensures compliance, but also aligns with broader business objectives and priorities. time and resource efficiency. Dealing with complex legal and compliance matters can be time-consuming and resource-intensive for business owners, and not to mention it just sucks your brain dry. You need to have that engaged professional on your side so that you can streamline the process, saving time and money while ensuring the legal and compliance requirements are met effectively and efficiently. Peace of mind. Professional advice does give you, as a business owner, peace of mind knowing that they've access to expert guidance and they can support by navigating complex and legal compliance challenges. And that confidence allows the business and you as a business owner to focus on your core operations and strategic goals without being bogged down by legal uncertainties or compliance issues. So that's it for this episode. Tune in next week for part two and the remaining challenges. Till then, bye for now. Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on social media, sign up for my newsletter, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. And remember, anything is possible, especially in northeast of Victoria. Till next time, cheerio.